This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Jim Robbins from the New York Times, author of The Man Who Planted Trees, A Story of Lost Groves, The Science of Trees, and A Plan to Save the Planet. 10 years since I spoke with Jim about his book, and in these 10 years, we've been educated about the damage to our ecosystem where we live with climate change. However, that damage is accelerated in the giants among us, and I'm thinking of the sequoias and the redwoods. There is underway in it a method to not clone, to reproduce the redwoods and the sequoias. And Jim's going to update us on where that project is now and where they can be moved safely. Is there one zone in America? I understand they're in a small piece. I think you, in your original telling, it was something like 1,000 square miles. I don't remember exact detail, but in California. Is there a friendly territory for the sequoias and redwoods everywhere, Jim?
Well, what the emphasis has been on what's called assisted migration is to move trees like the sequoias and the redwoods north, because as it gets hotter, and of course the last 7 years have been the hottest on record on the planet, as it gets hotter, trees can't migrate on their own or only very slowly. And so assisted migration is happening in places now. And this is one of them. They're moving the sequoias and redwoods north into Oregon, where things are cooler, at least for now. But one of the things that has happened in the last year was it got really hot and fires broke out in California and burned sequoias. Now, the sequoias are known to be almost immortal because they are so big and resistant to fire, resistant to insects and disease, but that's starting to break down. It's probably because it's getting hotter and the trees are so big that they can no longer move the water from their roots up to the crown. There just isn't enough under these stressful conditions for them to do that. So we're seeing big trees die. And so the picture of the waterfall tree on the cover of my book that you're holding there, you have in front of you, died last year. It was burned to a crisp, the one that David is standing next to. And this year, though, because they have been cloning them, Archangel Ancient Tree Archive and David and his family and his staff went to the Sequoia Range in California and replanted the clones of those trees that that they had cloned earlier in the decade. So I guess the story has a happy ending in that sense, that these genetics, which are essential to these big trees, or which are you know, why he's doing this project to save these genetics, have been preserved. Now, I want to say something. There's a recent study that came out within the last few weeks in Nature, the top journal, about ancient trees. And what this study found is that these ancient tree genetics, and the sequoias are 2,000 or 2,500 years old, redwoods similar, bristlecone pines are 5,000. But these genetics that these trees have are essential for the whole forest. As they reproduce with other trees, these genetics carry with them the ability to adapt to extreme conditions. And this is what just came out, and it's kind of validates what David Millarc has been doing in cloning the genetics of these big trees, because a 2,000-year-old tree has learned something about survival. They've gone to school on every storm, on every temperature spike, on cold weather, and they learn how to survive. And so these genetics, at least this is the belief, then pass those traits onto every other tree or many other trees in the forest. So it may have been a more critical project than anyone realized, because this study just came out, as I say, a few weeks ago. It's new, but it's validation for all of this.
We have some statistics here to tell you what's left of the original redwood and sequoia forest from this book 10 years past. 95% of the redwood sequoias are gone. 5% remain. 106,000 acres 10 years ago. I don't know what the habitat is today. 82% of those are protected, I believe. 82% are protected. But the idea here is that they can be moved by human beings. Now, the question is, you mentioned moving to the northwest. Is it possible for redwoods to survive in the Great Lakes or in Canada or in New England, where there, I don't think there are, have ever been redwoods here in New England?
Well, there, believe it or not, there are redwood. Redwoods are native only to California, just that 400-mile stretch of coastal California. One of the things that's happening is they are fog drinkers, and so they need constant fog in order to take in this moisture through their needles. And fog is diminishing. As it gets hotter, there's less fog, and they're in trouble that way. But yes, redwoods grow around the world, believe it or not, England, New Zealand, all over. They're pretty hardy, and they don't naturalize. They don't take off and become invasive. They stay where they're planted. So there has been a project to in England to plant more. And a guy named Sir Tim Smith, a record producer, who's gotten involved and built these kind of giant greenhouses, and he's very much fallen in love with the project, and he's taken redwoods over to plant in Cornwall in these giant greenhouses, and kind of a way to preserve like the Svalbard, Norway seed vault. It's a way to preserve the genetics in England. So if the redwoods in California disappear, you'll have these genetics somewhere else. So they do grow well in other places, and as climate changes, they'll probably do well in even more places because it's getting warmer, and in some places it's getting wetter.
What about the sequoias? Is it the same story, Jim? Can they be moved easily?
They're different. They grow in drier places. They're not fog drinkers. But yes, they're very hardy trees. There's one growing in Michigan I heard about that's probably 50 years old. So yes, they do surprise sometimes and grow outside of their traditional range. But, you know, as the climate changes in various ways, in unpredictable ways, all bets are off on how things have been. It's really, there's an upheaval going on in the natural world.
You mentioned Bill Libby, who has a grove of trees where he's planting the offspring of old growth, trees that are now 300 years old as opposed to, 500 or 1,000 years old. Is that also extending to the future? If you plant an offspring of an old growth tree, it will prosper going forward several hundred years?
Well, that's the belief, yes. I think one of the more interesting things that David Millarc has done is go to find these giant stumps in California. There's a place called Wonder Stump Road, and it's these trees were probably the largest trees that ever lived on the planet. And what did loggers do when they came upon a stand of virgin trees? They always took the biggest ones first, right? That's where the most money is. And dropping a redwood tree is no small feat. So it takes a lot of work. It would take days to drop one of these trees. But they went to the mother trees. They went to the big trees, and they would cut them down. And there's a place where the stumps from these giant mother trees still exist. These are probably close to 400 feet tall. And David has taken cuttings from the clones of these trees and copied them, thinking that these may be the biggest and oldest trees that have ever been on the planet. They're like dinosaurs. Even the stumps are like dinosaurs. They're so big. And so it's hoped that the knowledge that is contained in the offspring of these giant stumps, the suckers that come up from around the stump, David has taken cuttings of those, that the knowledge in that DNA may be what helps carry redwoods into the future and allows them to adapt to a changing planet in the next 20, 30 or 100 years or so.
The book is The Man Who Planted Trees, a story of lost groves, the science of trees, and a plan to save the planet. Jim Robbins, the New York Times correspondent, is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.